You were both in...
I pledge allegiance to the King of Kings and to his kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. One holy nation and our heavenly Father, grace, mercy, justice for all.
Welcome back. You're listening to Across the Border. That's the name of this program. We're continuing our study here in the the Acts of the Apostle. And we left off in chapter 5 and verse 31. Peter's continuing to talk, so I'll back up a little bit. Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, "We ought to obey God rather than men." And that's what I was talking about, obeying God rather than men. In all things, it's more important. The law of God is higher than the law of man. If you place the law of man higher than the law of God, then man is your God, and the government is your God. And that is idolatry. For instance, there are those who hate the law of God. The law of God says, well, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not commit adultery, a man shall not lie with a man as with a woman. The law of God says things like that. So they say, well, we don't like the law of God, so we want our God to make different laws. The law of God says that a man can't marry a man, because marriage is between a woman, a man, and a woman only. So they go to their God and they say, well, we don't like the law of God. We want to commit adultery. We want men to be able to marry men. Oh, great God of government, we worship you, and you alone do we worship. Please make a law for us. And, of course, these idiots up there in the legislature are getting paid hundreds of thousands of dollars a year by all the idiots that vote for them. They go, oh, yes, we are gods, aren't we? Yeah, whatever. If we make a law, it's good. Yeah, who cares what God's law says? So they pass their laws. And damnation for all of them. That's it. They'll all burn in hell together if they don't repent. It won't be pleasant. And, gosh, I wonder if I just committed hate speech there. Okay, that's a new law they passed here just recently. I guess they're going to have fun with that one, aren't they? Uh-oh. They're going to pay someone? Well, they got lots of money, don't they? They're just printing trillions of dollars. So I wonder if they're going to pay someone to sit down and to go through all my archives, which will remain posted on the Internet, and listen for hate speech. Yes. Well, I just pray that if they do have someone doing that, that they'll listen to and they'll get converted. Yes, that would be nice. So it continues here. He says that we ought to obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised up Yahshua, whom you slew and hanged on a tree. Him hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a Savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are his witnesses of these things, and so is also the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that obey him. Want the Holy Ghost? He has given to them that obey him, the Holy Ghost. So obey him and be filled with the Holy Ghost. And there he clarifies my point that those who worshipped idolatry, all those idolaters would not believe even if they saw miracles. They could not receive the Holy Ghost. Ananias and Sapphira could not receive the Holy Ghost. They were idolaters. They thought they were going to lie to the Holy Ghost. Well, the Holy Ghost does not lie to himself, but the Holy Ghost is given to them that obey him. The him, of course, is Yahuwah, the God of Israel, the creator of all things. You obey him, you receive his Holy Ghost. And when they heard that, they were cut to the heart and took counsel to slay them. Yes, up to their old tricks. Well, we can't gainsay them. We can't take them in public. We can't get the people to stop following them. Let's kill them. Let's murder them. Let's break God's law and murder them without a cause. So they took counsel to slay them. Then there stood up one in the council, a Pharisee named Gamaliel, a doctor of the law, had a reputation among the people, and commanded to put the apostles forth a little space. And he says to them, "Ye men of Israel, take heed to yourselves what you intend to do as touching these men." There's a man who has got his head screwed on straight. He hears them talking about murdering these men. He's saying, "Take heed to yourselves. Give these men a little time." And he says, "For before these days rose up Theudas, boasting himself to be somebody." That must have been a false prophet of the day. "To whom a number of men, about 400, joined themselves, who was slain, and all, as many as obeyed him, were scattered and brought to naught. After this man rose up Judas of Galilee in the days of the taxing, and drew away much people after him." You know, the days of the taxing, that must have been about the time that Yeshua was born. So here we got a man who was around for a while and reciting some things, you know, where they had to travel to their home to be taxed, the days of the taxing, "and drew away much people after him. He also perished, and all, even as many as obey him, were dispersed. And now I say unto you, refrain from these men and let them alone. For if this counsel or this work be of men, it will come to naught. But if it be of God, you cannot overthrow it, lest haply you be found even to fight against God." Here's a wise man standing up in the council. That's like I said, how did Luke find out what they were saying in the council? Well, he would have found out from a man like this man who's speaking, perhaps this very man. Perhaps Luke went and found him, said, "Hey, what went on in there?" Knowing him, it says he had a reputation, which I'm going to take to mean that he had a reputation as an honest and a righteous man. And for him to say something like this, here's a man who sees the truth. He's lived a long life and he's observed and he sees the truth of things. He says, "Hey, if this is not of God, it's going to come to nothing. Don't worry about it. Just let it be. But if it is of God," listen to us, he has the fear of God. He says, if it be of God, you cannot overthrow it, lest happily you be found even to fight against God. And to him they agreed. And when they had called the apostles and beaten them, they commanded they should not speak in the name of Jesus, and let them go. Yeah, we'll just threaten them and beat, you know, threatening didn't work, so we're going to beat them this time. And so they beat him and let him go. And I'm sure it wasn't this man who talked some sense into him that had part in the beating. And of course, some men just, you know, like I said, they practice unrighteousness. They can't see the truth. Miracles, one rising from the dead, can't persuade them. And they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. And daily in the temple, and in every house, they cease not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. The Acts of the Apostles, chapter 6 and verse 1. And in those days, when the number of the disciples were multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews, because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. Then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, It is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. So basically we have a thing going on here where they have to minister these funds now. And that's kind of a burden if you're not into money. So you see this burden is built up where the ministration, the widows need to be taken care of, because if you're selling your property, because of the times that they're in, they're setting aside, you know, the laws of inheritance that had been set up for Israel, because the days for Israel are numbered. They know they're going to have to flee. So, but everyone still has to be ministered to somehow. So the substance that was in the property of the children of Israel by the law in their clans, where the widows and the orphans were to be taken care of by the family clan according to the law, now fell to the apostles, where everything was distributed. Does that mean that this is how things should be today? No, I think that we should, if we are able to have property, take care of our family, take care of our widows, take care of our orphans in our family, I believe that the law of God still applies. If we're not able to do it, then it falls to the charity work of the church and to those who give in the church for the poor and for the ministration of those things. Charity should never go to the government, because the government forces charity, and then that's an abomination, because then the government becomes your god and you have the idolatry that follows, the idolatry that is all around us today. And then of course when that idolatry takes hold, then you have all of the turning over to a reprobate mind that comes with that idolatry, and then you have all of the abominations of homosexuality and all sorts of godlessness and wickedness and giving and taking and marriage and adultery, and it just goes on and on, and then it perpetuates itself. But no, we see here that they were to be administered if you have a widow indeed. So let's continue and see how they handle this situation here. And the 12 called the multitude of disciples unto them and said, multitude of disciples. And so we have hundreds, perhaps thousands of people here from the witness that we have here. They called the multitude of disciples unto them and said, it is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. So they were the main preachers, the 12. And they said, we should not leave the word of God to serve tables. Wherefore, brethren, look you out for among yourselves 7 men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and in the ministry of the word. And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith in the Holy Ghost, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch, whom they set before the apostles when they had prayed and laid their hands on them. And the word of God increased, and the number of disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a company of the priests were obedient. And a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith. And Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. Then there arose certain of the synagogue, which is called the synagogue of the libertines. It says here, Roman freedman, libertine, and the Cyrenians and the Alexandrians, and of them of Cilicia and of Asia, disputing with Stephen. And they were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spake. Then they suborned men, which said, "We have heard him speak blasphemous words against Moses and against God." And they stirred up the people and the elders and the scribes and came upon him and caught him and brought him to the council and set up false witnesses, which said, "This man ceaseth not to speak blasphemous words against this holy place and the law. For we have heard him say that this Jesus of Nazareth shall destroy this place and shall change the customs which Moses delivered to us." And all that sat in the council, looking steadfastly upon him, saw his face as it had been the face of an angel. So the countenance of Stephen is changing so that he is becoming bright, perhaps as Moses appeared in the transfiguration, or Abraham, as Abraham appeared when he came down off of the mountain, being in the presence of the Heavenly Father. They had to put a veil on him because the people were afraid, because he shone with the light of God. And here you notice that they bring false witnesses. And what do the false witnesses say? "This man ceaseth not to speak against the holy place and the law, and to change the customs which Moses delivered to us." And see, these are false accusations. And I was watching I have some of these movies over here, produced their DVDs, on some of the lives of some of the prophets and the great people of Israel. And then there's one on the Apostle Paul, and then there's one called Jesus of Nazareth. And you can tell these are all done by corporate Christian, and because of the leaning. And in the one of these movies, I don't recall which one, the accusation comes that they're teaching men that it's okay to eat pork. Something just as blatant as that. And I just thought, they never taught that. And so they're bringing a further false accusation. And then they have the one being accused defending it, as if they were teaching against the law of Moses, which they were not, because here plainly the scripture says that these were false accusations. They weren't teaching in Jerusalem against the law of Moses. They were teaching according to the law. And according to the law, the Messiah who would pay the price for their sins. It was all according to the law. So these false accusers say that this Jesus in Nazareth shall destroy this place and shall change. So they're just kind of mouthing some of the same old accusations too. Just nonsense, really. Because what are false accusations but nonsense, and dangerous nonsense? And you can see that they care little about breaking God's law themselves, which they accuse these men of teaching contrary to, because they're bearing false witness against their neighbor. "And all that sat in the council, looking steadfastly upon him, saw that his face as it had been as the face of an angel." So Stephen's countenance changed. "Then said the high priest, Are these things so? And he said, Men and brethren and fathers, hearken. The God of glory appeared unto our father Abraham when he was in Mesopotamia, before he dwelt in Haran, and said to him, Get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred, and come into a land which I shall show thee. Then came he out of the land of the Chaldeans and dwelt in Haran, and from thence, when his father was dead, he removed him unto the land wherein you now dwell. And he gave him none inheritance in it, no, not so much as to set his foot on, yet he promised that he would give it to him for a possession, and to his seed after him, when as yet he had no child. And God spake on this wise, that his seed should sojourn in a strange land, and that they should bring them into bondage, and entreat them evil 400 years. And the nation to whom they shall be in bondage will I judge, said God. And after that they shall come forth and serve me in this place. And he gave him the covenant of circumcision. And so Abraham begot Isaac, and circumcised him the eighth day. And Isaac begat Jacob, and Jacob begot the 12 patriarchs. and the patriarchs, moved with envy, sold Joseph into Egypt, but God was with him and delivered him out of all his afflictions and gave him favor and wisdom in the sight of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he made him governor over Egypt and all his house. Now there came a dearth over the land of Egypt and Canaan and great affliction, and our fathers found no sustenance. But when Jacob heard there was corn in Egypt, he sent our fathers first. And at the second time Joseph was made known to his brethren, and Joseph's kindred was made known to Pharaoh. Then Joseph sent and called his father Jacob to him, and all his kindred, 75 souls. So Jacob went down into Egypt and died, he and our fathers, and were carried over to Shechem and laid in the sepulchre that Abraham bought with for a sum of money of the sons of Hamor, the father of Shechem. But when the time of the promise drew nigh, which God had sworn to Abraham, the people grew and multiplied in Egypt, till another king arose, which knew not Joseph. The same dealt subtly with our kindred, and evil entreated our fathers, so that they cast out their young to the end that they might not live, in which time Moses was born. And he was exceeding fair, and nourished up in his father's house 3 months. And when he was cast out, Pharaoh's daughter took him up, and nourished him for her own son. And Moses was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians, and was mighty in words and in deeds. And when he was full 40 years old, it came into his heart to visit his brethren, the children of Israel. And seeing one of them suffer, he defended him, and avenged him that was oppressed, and smote the Egyptian. For he supposed his brethren would have understood how that God by his hand would deliver them, but they understood not. And the next day he showed himself unto them as they strove, and would have set them at one again, saying, Sirs, your brethren, why do you wrong one another? And he that did his neighbor wrong thrust him away, saying, Who made thee a ruler and a judge over us? Wilt thou kill me, as thou didst the Egyptian yesterday? Then fled Moses at the saying, and was a stranger in the land of Midian, where he begat 2 sons. And when 40 years were expired, there appeared unto him in the wilderness of Mount Sinai an angel of Yahuwah in the flame of the fire in a bush. And will continue in Stephan's wonderful narration of biblical history to these Jews. We'll be back in a few minutes.
Having laid our whole heart. fight the fight. We are here to equip you because you love the truth. LibertyRadioLive.com.
Now listen to me. The Bible says, render unto Caesar that which is Caesar's. I want you to know that a corporation is Caesar.
Government takeover of the church. This DVD is the most powerful tool we have for waking up those asleep in the pews. The scripture calls for his people to come out of her. The corporate church is the apostate church, the whore that rides the beast. Make copies and give them away to your corporate church friends and loved ones. The truth will make them free. They will watch the DVD, Government Takeover of the Church. Who will tell them if not you?
Get this DVD for a donation of $25 from LibertyRadioLive.com. Order online today or call 559-781-3773.
Now listen to me.
The program you are listening to is 100% sponsored by you, the listener, on this First Amendment Rights Media channel. You will notice that there are few commercials on this radio network. There's a good reason for that. Corporate advertising dollars come with strings that limit program content. So without your help, these programs cannot continue on satellite, internet, or our several affiliates. If you benefit by the educational law programs, we ask you to give. If you are admonished or nurtured by the Bible and ministry programs, we ask you to give. If some voice a cause that you are passionate about, we ask you to give. If you believe in any of these, we ask you to support them as you would a missionary on a continual basis, as if giving a tithe for missionary radio. These programs are not commercially viable and must be supported by those faithful to the cause of truth. Look for the button to sponsor your favorite programs at our listen and schedule pages on the internet. Then, when you subscribe, we will send you the last quarterly MP3 CD of that program immediately, and continue to do so with each new quarter. We will also give you unlimited archive access to all of our programs. We're asking you to give much less than a tithe, so that you may also send support directly to a particular program host, cause, and anywhere else the Spirit may lead you. Do all to the glory of our God and Creator, for His holy nation, the only kingdom that will last forever. Thank you for listening.
Welcome back. You're listening to Cross the Border. My website is crosstheborder.org. Do take advantage of the resources there. And you can also listen to these broadcasts. There's a link there for current or recent broadcasts, which will take you to an index. Do take advantage of those and the many Bible studies that are posted there. Right now, we're in the book of Acts, Stephen preaching a message here in a synagogue to many skeptics, and I can see them. He's giving them a very correct and perfect synopsis of the faith that they hold. And I can see them sitting there, bobbing their heads, going, yeah, that's right, uh-huh, on many of the points that he's saying, yeah, that's right. It's obvious that Stephen knows the faith, that he knows the Word of God, that he knows the history of Israel, because that's what he is reciting to them. And he continues here, talking about how Moses had left Egypt, what happened when he killed the Egyptian, but the next day he was settling a dispute between his brethren, and one of them turns to him and says, "Wilt thou kill me as thou didst the Egyptian yesterday?" Then fled Moses at this saying, and was a stranger in the land of Midian, where he begat two sons, because he did not know that it was he was seen slaying the Egyptian. And of course, the word got around. And when 40 years were expired, so now Moses is 80 years old, because it was he was 40 when this incident happened, 80 years old, 40 years later, there appeared to him in the wilderness on the Mount Sinai an angel of Yahuwah, says the Lord in the Authorized King James Version, of course, in a flame of fire in a bush. When Moses saw it, he wondered at the sight, and as he drew near to it, behold, a voice of the Lord came to him, saying, "I am the God of thy fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob." Then Moses trembled and durst not behold. Then said the Lord to him, "Put off thy shoes from thy feet, for the place where thou standest is holy ground. I have seen the affliction of my people, which is in Egypt, and I have heard their groaning, and I have come down to deliver them. And now come, I will send thee to Egypt. This Moses, whom they refused, saying, 'Who made thee a ruler and a judge?' The same did God send to be a ruler and a deliverer by the hand of the angel which appeared unto him in the bush. He brought them out. After that, he showed wonders and signs in the land of Egypt and the Red Sea and in the wilderness 40 years. This is that Moses which said unto the children of Israel, 'A prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren like unto me, him you shall hear.' This is he that was in the church in the wilderness with the angel which spake to him in the Mount Sinai, and with our fathers who received the lively oracles to give unto us, to whom our fathers would not obey, but thrust him from them, and in their hearts turned back again into Egypt, saying to Aaron, 'Make us gods to go before us. For as this Moses, which brought us out of the land of Egypt, we wot not what is become of him.' And they made a calf in those days, and offered sacrifice unto the idol, and rejoiced in the works of their own hands. Then God turned and gave them up to worship the hosts of heaven, as it is written in the book of the prophets, 'O ye house of Israel, have ye offered me slain beasts and sacrifices by the space of 40 years in the wilderness? Yea, ye took up the tabernacle of Molech, and the star of your God, Rephan, figures which you made to worship them, and I will carry you away beyond Babylon. Our fathers had the tabernacle of witness in the wilderness, as he had appointed, speaking unto Moses, that he should make it according to the fashion that we had seen, that he had seen, which also our fathers that came after brought with Joshua into the possession of the Gentiles, whom God drove out before the face of our fathers unto the days of David, who found favor before God and desired to find a tabernacle for the God of Jacob. But Solomon built him a house. Howbeit, the Most High dwelleth not in temples made with hands, as saith the prophet, 'Heaven is my throne, and earth my footstool. What house will you build me, saith the Lord? Or what is the place of my rest? Hath not my hand made all these things? Ye stiff neck and uncircumcised in heart and ears, you do always resist the Holy Ghost, as your fathers did, so do ye. Which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted? And they have slain them which showed before the coming of the Just One, whom you have been now the betrayers and murderers, who have received the law by disposition of angels, and have not kept it." When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed on him with their teeth. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Yahshua standing on the right hand of God, and said, Behold, I see the heavens open, and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. Then they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord. It kind of reminds me of those swine when the demons departed out of that man, legion. When that legion of demons departed out of the man, went into the herd of swine, and they all ran into the sea. Well, here you have the kind of the same thing. You have a lot of wicked men here, stopping their ears and running on Stephen with one accord. And they cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet, whose name was Saul. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God, saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. Yes, he died. Chapter 8 and verse 1. And Saul was consenting unto his death. And at that time there was a great persecution against the church, which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. And devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house, and hailing men and women, committed them to prison. Therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying with a loud voice, came out of many that were possessed, and many taken with palsies and that were lame were healed. And there was great joy in that city. But there was a certain man called Simon, which before time in the same city used sorcery and bewitched the people of Samaria, giving out that himself was some great one. And, you know, here we have a faker in the midst of Samaria, pretending to be a great man of God and using sorceries to bewitch the people. And they all gave heed to this man, Simon, from the least to the greatest, saying, This man is the great power of God. And to him they had regard because of that long time he had bewitched them with sorceries. But when they believed Philip, preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. And so you see here that even good people can be bewitched, but when they hear the truth and when they see the signs and the miracles accompanying, well, they will believe. Whereas the wicked, even though they hear the truth, then they see, even if they see the signs and miracles, they won't believe. Then Simon himself believed also. And when he was baptized, he continued with Philip in wonder, beholding the miracles and signs which were done. Now, what did he believe in? That's kind of what I wonder. What did he believe in? Well, he believed perhaps in the miracles and the signs. He believed that here was a man with power like he had, a man that could expand his power. Yeah, so let's read on and see what this Simon believed. So we have Simon of Samaria. We can call him Simon of Samaria so far, because that's what we have here. He is Simon, who was a great one, a magician, who bewitched the people in Samaria. When he was baptized, and he continued with Philip and wondered, beholding the miracles and signs which were done. And now when the apostles were at Jerusalem, heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John, who when they were come, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. So they had not received the Holy Ghost yet. For as yet he was fallen upon none of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. then laid they their hands on them and received the Holy Ghost. And when Simon saw that through the laying of the apostles' hands the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them money, saying, "Give me also this power, that on whomsoever I lay hands, he may receive the Holy Ghost." So here Simon, he was a magician, a sorcerer of a sort, bewitching the people by the things that he did, and perhaps he purchased the secrets so that he could perform the miracles that he performed to make himself great. There are secrets that you see people that have, that use sleight of hand, they're magicians today, and they perform, and we know that it's not really magic, but they learn an art. They learn how to deceive. And so this is the kind of thing that Simon thought, well, if they could teach me this, I will buy this knowledge from them so that I can do this magic too. And this is the kind of man, this is the character we're getting into here with this Simon. So he reveals some of his character and how he was able to do the things that he did before, because he somehow purchased these arts and these supposedly miracles, sleight of hand, tricks, things that most people wouldn't know. You know, there's a lot of things I don't know how to do that I've seen people do, that they have the talent to do. So he says, he offers them money. He says, "Give me also this power, that on whomsoever I lay hands, he may receive the Holy Ghost." But Peter said to him, "Thy money perish with thee, because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. Thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter." Ah, so we find out that he has now neither part nor lot in this matter. That he's a faker. He's going along. He sees the miracles and stuff. He believes in those. You know, it's one thing to say, "I believe," as even the demons believe and they tremble. But that doesn't mean they have faith. Believing and having faith can be two different things. He says, "I perceive," verse 21, "thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter, for thy heart is not right in the sight of God. Repent therefore of this thy wickedness, and pray God, if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee. For I perceive that thou art in the gall of bitterness and the bond of iniquity." Then answered Simon and said, "Pray ye to the Lord for me, that none of these things which you have spoken come upon me." And that goes more to his faithlessness. Why doesn't he just fall down and repent himself before God? No, but he doesn't understand yet. He says, "You have the magic power, Peter. You pray for me and it will be well." He's still looking to men and he's not looking to God. And many say that Simon, this is the Simon who took his newfound faith in Jesus and took it to Rome and there established what had developed into the universal Christian church, or the Catholic Church eventually. And you can, I think we have that document. You go to FirstAmendmentRadio.com. And you'll find it there in the documents archive. I'm pretty sure you'll find it there. Perhaps I'll put a link up there for those of you who want to read that. I'll put a link up there on the, the chat room when I get done here, to make sure you can find that for those of you who haven't seen that yet. So he says, "You pray for me, Peter." Now, this is Simon saying this to Peter. And of course we have Simon Peter, and we have Simon the magician, and we should not get him mixed up. Because Simon would have also been called Father in Samaria there, because he was a great one. So he may have been called Simon Pater or Father Simon. And some people may mix that up with Simon Peter. And so if we had a Simon, a father, or Simon Pater in Rome, who founded, as the cult claims, founded their cult, They claim that it was Simon Peter, but in actuality it was Simon Pater. You can see how the mistake could be easily made there in the way the names are would be pronounced. Also, we know from the Scripture, we find nothing in the Scripture to say that Simon ever went to Rome. As a matter of fact, Paul was the apostle to the Gentiles. Paul was the one who spent all of that time in Rome. So why does not the universal church say that Paul was their founder? I kind of wonder about that. Oh yeah, that's right, because Paul wasn't given the keys of the kingdom, and they want the keys of the kingdom, right? That's what it is. So they misconstrue another verse, and that's why they want to take Peter, Simon Peter, rather than Simon Pater or Father Simon. So many people believe that this is the same Simon that was the Simon Pater or Father Simon, the first pope, because pope, of course, means papa or father. So there you have it. Okay, and they, verse 25, chapter 8, they, when they had testified and preached the word of the Lord, returned to Jerusalem and preached the gospel in many villages of the Samaritans. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise, go toward the south, unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem to Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot, read Isaiah the prophet. And the Spirit said to Philip, Go near and join thyself to this chariot. So Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah, and said, Do you understand what you're reading? Understandest thou what thou readest? It says in the Authorized King James Version. Do you understand what you're reading? Philip says to this eunuch. And he said, How can I understand, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture which he read was this: He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before the shearer, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation and judgment was taken away, and who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speakest the prophet this, of himself or of some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Yeshua, Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came unto certain water. And the eunuch said, See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Yeshua, the Messiah, Jesus Christ, is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still. And they both went down to the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. So Philip was doing some of that Holy Ghost traveling that that we see occasionally as we go through the scripture, that way that we are going to get to travel someday. We will have to rely on crude automobiles and to get where we want to go. And we'll be able to travel distances that are beyond mind and out of sight. But Philip was found at Azotus, and passing through, he preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea. Chapter 9 and verse 1. And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest, and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. So they're going to go find them all and chain them up and bind them and bring them to Jerusalem for trial. And so this is what's going on in Jerusalem and in Israel at the time. This is lawlessness too, because as we know, it was not lawful for them to put people to death, yet the priests were becoming a law unto themselves, not following the law of God, neither following the law of Rome. So you see what a burdensome stone Israel and Jerusalem are becoming to the Roman Empire at this time. So we have Paul. We have he's on the road to Damascus. He gets his letters to the synagogue there, and he's on his way. Verse 3 is where we're going to have to pick up next time, because we have run out of time. So we're going to pick up here at Acts chapter 9 and verse 1 next time on Cross the Border. Remember, there's nothing more important in your life than that you do cross the border into the kingdom of our Heavenly Father. Yes, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness and live forever. As always, in everything you say and do, bless His holy name. Hallelujah.
How high.
Hear him speak unspoken words of love.